Chav Beis Amar Aleph, we're up to the sixth line in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Shataf Nahar Korav Eitzav Va'avanav V'nasnu B'soch Stei Chavero Harei Elu Shalo Mipenesh Nisyashu Abaylin. So right now we're in the middle of this discussion of the Machlokas between Abaye and Rava, whether Yeish Shalom Midas is considered Yeish. Again, that basically means that the owner does not yet know that he lost the item. If and when he finds out about it, he's certainly going to give up. He's going to despair of getting it back. The question is, I find that item before he knows that he lost it, am I allowed to keep it? Rava says yes, and Abaye says no. So the next attempted proof the Gemara is quoting is based on a Tosefta in Maseches Ksubes that says the following, that let's say a river, a stream of water comes and wipes away the bricks, beams of wood, whatever it is, from Reuven's field and deposits it into Shimon's field. So the Tosefta says that Shimon's allowed to keep it because Reuven has given up hope. He's despaired of ever getting it back. So the Gemara points out, Taima dinis Yahshua Bailim, Hastamalo. The only reason why Shimon is allowed to keep the beams and the wood and all that stuff that was deposited into his field from Reuven's field is only because Reuven gave up on it. The implication is that if we don't know one way or another, we don't have any indication that Reuven was miyayish, so that he's not allowed to keep it. That seems to contradict what we mentioned yesterday in the case of the river coming and sweeping everything away. We said that the assumption always is that the owner is going to give up on it. So the Gemara says, no. Comes the Gemara and says, no, the case here is that in theory, Reuven could salvage his bricks and his beams and whatever. In other words, in theory, it's not such a huge wave that's coming and sweeping everything away. So asks the Gemara, Ihachi ema seifa, im hayu abaylim miradfin achareim chayev lahachzir, I biyacholim lahatzil, my iria miradfin afilu ein miradfin nami. The problem is that the latter part of that same Tosefta says that if Reuven, the owner, is running after the wave to try and salvage all of his stuff, then you have to return it to him. So the Gemara says, but hang on a second. If it's a case of yecholin lahatzil, it's a scenario where you're able to salvage the stuff. It's not such an overwhelming wave that's sweeping everything away. So then why does the Tosefta make this distinction about whether Reuven is actively pursuing his bricks and beams? Even if he's not doing that, you should still have to return it to him because it's a scenario of yecholin lahatzil where Reuven never despaired of getting his items back. So the Gemara says, no. Hacha b'mayaskinan b'yecholin lahatzil ayideat chak miradfin lo iayush ein miradfin iyushe miayish. So comes the Gemara and says that the scenario in the Tosefta is that yes, in theory, Reuven is able to salvage his bricks and his beams and the stones and whatever, but only with great difficulty, with great effort. It's not going to be easy for him to do. So therefore, if he's actively pursuing it, okay, so he's trying to save it, then you have to return it to him. But if he just kind of gave up on it, he's not running after it, so that's an indication that he gave up hope. Okay, then the verse says, Tashma, Ketzad Amru Hatorim Shalom Midas Trumasu Truma. What's the scenario, so a Mishnah Maseches Trumos, behind the halacha that states that if someone goes ahead and separates Truma from someone else's produce without their knowledge, that act of Hafrash's Truma is still valid. So imagine the following. Shimon goes to Reuven's field. Reuven has no idea that Shimon's in his field. Shimon goes ahead and separates Truma from Reuven's produce. If we're concerned with Gezela, then Shimon's act of Hafrash's Truma is invalid. If we're not concerned with Gezela, then it's valid. So the question, of course, is, how are we ever going to know whether there should be a concern of Gezela? So imagine Reuven comes back, he sees Shimon in his field taking off his truma, the Amar lo, he says to him, Klach Eitzel Yafos, you should have gone to the nicer ones. In other words, he sees Shimon separating separating truma from his produce, and he says, you know what, you should have taken off truma from my nicer quality produce. So the Gemara explains, Im nimtu Yafos man truma so truma, v'im lav ein truma so truma, likdu abaylim the hosifu alayan, benkach uvenkach truma so truma. So the Gemara makes the following distinction. If in fact Reuven does have nicer quality produce, so that he was being sincere when he said to Shimon, I didn't want you to separate truma from my average quality produce, I wanted you to take it off from my most superior quality, so then the act of hafrasha that Shimon did is going to be binding. If however the produce that Shimon separated was the highest quality produce in the field, so then Reuven was just being sarcastic. When he said you should have gone to the nicer ones, he was basically saying, why are you taking off my nicest quality produce to give as truma? And then the act of Afrasha is not binding unless, the Gemara says, Reuven actively goes himself and adds on to the pile of Truma. That, in other words, in that case, even if there is no better quality produce, the Truma is going to be valid. But what's the question? How does this relate back to Yer Shalom Yidas? V'chi nimtu yafos mehen Truma, so Truma amai, be'idna disaram halo havayada. The Gemara says, but hang on a second. Even if it turns out that there was better quality produce in the field and Shimon was and Reuven was being sincere about it, so the question is, why is that still a valid act of Afreshes Truma? At the time that Shimon was separating the Truma, he didn't know that. He didn't know that Reuven had better quality produce. So the fact that we're saying that in a scenario where there's better quality produce that the Afreshes Truma is valid, that would seem to lend support to Rava's position in the case of Yishal Omidatz. Why? Because just as in the case of Truma, he doesn't know what's going on at the time, and yet it's still considered binding. So too in the case of Yish. Right now, he doesn't know he lost the item, but eventually he's going to find out. So too in that scenario, we should say that it's Ki'ilu he already gave up right now. So says the Gemara, no. Tirgum Rava Aliba de Abaye de Shav Yishalef. So Rava himself comes to Abaye's defense. Even though they're having a machlokas, your Rava defends Abaye and deflects this proof. And he says that maybe you could argue that the reason why the Hafrasha is valid here is because Reuven appointed Shimon as a shliach. And in fact, the Gemara says, Hachanami Mistabra, the Isal Kadait of Delo Shavya Shaliach, Mi Havya Truma, so Truma, Vaha Atem Gamatem Amarachamana le Rabo Shluchachem, Ma Atem le Daitchem, Av Shluchachem le Daitchem, Ela Hachabim Mayaskinan, Kagong de Shavya Shaliach, Vaamar le Ziltrom, Velo amar le trom behane ustami deval abayis kitarom mi beninis utarom vaazal ihu visara mi yafos uvabal abayis umitzao vaamar le klach itzal yafos im nimtsu u yafos mehen trumas or truma vim lavin trumas or truma. The Gemara says that you have to say that this scenario where Shimon went and separated truma from Reuven's produce, and we say that the act of afresha is valid if there's better quality produce, is only if Reuven specifically appointed Shimon as a shaliach. Now the question is, what do you mean? If he appointed him as a shaliach, then of course the Hafrasha should be valid. So the Gemara explains that most people, when they appoint someone as a shliach to take off Truma, they're assuming that they're just going to go separate from their average quality produce. They don't want to give from their nicest stuff. They don't want to give from their worst stuff. They want to give from the average stuff. The problem is that Reuven, the Baal HaBayis, never specified to Shimon which quality produce he wants him to separate from. So Shimon went ahead and he took off from whatever produce he thought he was supposed to take from. Then Reuven comes back and says, Klach Eitzel Yafos, you should have gone to the nicer ones. So now you have to assess if there are in fact nicer ones, so he was being sincere about that. Then Shimon's act of Afrasha is valid, and he has fulfilled his shlichus to a degree. But if it's a scenario where there's nothing nicer, then he was being sarcastic, he said he should have just gone to my average quality produce instead of my nicest ones, and then the Afrasha is not valid. But this whole discussion is only assuming that Reuven really appointed Shimon as a shliach. If he never appointed him as a shliach, so this whole discussion does not get off the ground. If a guy just, you know, waltzed into Reuven's backyard and took off his truma without his knowledge, even if there was better quality produce, says the Gemara, that's not going to be a valid act of Afrasha, and therefore this whole scenario is not really a good proof to the general machlokas between Abaye and Rava regarding Yishal Omidatz. Okay, the Gemara has a story that's related to this halacha. A Meimar Umar Zutra Viravashi Ikla Ulevustina de Mari Bar Isak. These three Amoraim, they chanced upon the orchard of this guy named Mari Bar Isak. Aise Arise Tamre Virimone. So his Mari's sharecropper brought in front of these three Amoraim dates and pomegranates. Vishada Kamayuni laid them before them. A Meimar Viravashi Achle, Marzutra Lo Achle. So a Meimar and Ravashi ate the fruit, and Marzutra refused to eat. Adahachi Asa Mari Bar Isak, Ashkechinu Va'amar Leila Arise, Amailo Asis Lehula Rabbanan Mehanach Shapirta. So Mari comes back home, he sees these rabbis eating fruit in his orchard, and he turns to the sharecropper and says, you should have given them from my nicer produce. So Amrule Ameimar Viravashi Le Marzutra, Hashta Amailo Achil Mar, Vehasanya Im Nimtu, Yafos Mehan Truma So Truma. So now, Amemar and Ravashi turn to Marzutra and say to him, well, what's your justification now for not eating the fruit? Meaning, we just got through saying a second ago from the Brisa that if the owner comes back and says, Klach Eitzel Yafos, you should have gone to my nicer produce, and in fact there was nicer produce, so then the act of Hafreshes Truma is valid, so presumably the same should be true here as well. The share, in other words, we didn't know what Mari Bar Isak's intention was from the outset. He wasn't around, so we didn't know if he was okay with his sharecropper giving fruit to these rabbis. Now he comes home, he says, should have gone to my nicer ones. In fact, there were nice, in other words, there was nicer produce, so isn't that an indication that he's perfectly fine with us eating his fruit? And now, Marzutra, you should be able to partake of the fruit as well. So, Amar Lehu, Hachi Amar Rava, Lo Amru Klachi Tzol Yafos Ela Le'inyan Truma Bilvad, Mishum Demitzvahu Venechalei, Aval Hacha Mishum Ksifusa Huda Amarachi. So, Marzutra rejected that comparison. He turned to Amemar and Ravashi and said, no, that halacha that we invoke this principle of Klachi Tzol Yafos, you should have gone to the nicer produce, is only true specifically when it comes to Truma. Why? Because Truma is a mitzvah. So in the case of a mitzvah, in other words, the owner is happy with the fact that Shimon is doing a mitzvah on his behalf. But here, the only only reason, says Mar Zutra, why Mari Bar Isak is even saying that it's okay for us, the rabbis, to eat, is because he's embarrassed. What, he's gonna kick the rabbis out of his orchard after they're already sitting here eating fruit? It's too embarrassing to do that. So you can't necessarily compare these two cases. Okay, the other Gemara tries again with another proof. Tashma, Odeyu Hatal Halean V'Samach Hareza B'Chiyutan Nigvo Afal Pisha Samach Ingan Bechiyutan. Comes the Gemara, quotes a very very arcane area of halacha in the realm of Tumah V'Tara. This is based on a pasuk in Parsha Shmini. The pasuk says V'Chiyutan Maya Malzera V'Nafal Mi Nivlasam Alav Tamehu Lachem. We've referenced halacha many times in the past, which is that in order for a seed or a fruit or something of that nature to become susceptible to becoming tamei, it must first come into contact with one of the seven liquids, right? Water, dew, oil, honey, etc. It has to come into contact with one of those seven liquids. But there's an additional criteria that's required, more than just the fact that it has to come into contact with one of those liquids. The owner has to be okay, or has to be happy with the fact that the fruit or the seed is now moist, that it received the moisture. If he's not happy with it, let's say, for example, he laid a bunch of dates out on his roof to dry in the sun, and then all of a sudden it started to rain out of nowhere, and he didn't want them to get wet. He wanted them to dry out. So even though they're technically wet, they would not be subject to the laws of Kiyuta. They would not be subject to becoming tamei. Then the Gemara adds an additional factor here, which is that if let's say, for example, there was dew that came down, and there's dew currently that's sitting on this fruit or seed or whatever it is, and the owner is happy with it. He wants the moisture to be absorbed on the fruit. So that fruit or that seed is obviously subject to becoming tamei. It's now susceptible to tuma. However, the Gemara says, let's say the seed or the fruit has since dried up. So this morning there was dew, and now 3 hours later the dew is gone. It's dry again. And so then the Gemara says that even if the owner was originally happy when the dew fell onto the seed or the fruit, it's no longer subject to kiyutan, which means that if something tameh, if a sheretz were to touch that seed or fruit, it would not be subject to tumah. So the question, of course, is time of mind. What's the logic behind this? Lav mishum de lo amrinan kevan de iglai milsa de hashta nechale meikara nami nechale. The Gemara says the only way, seemingly, to explain this seemingly arbitrary distinction about whether there's currently dew on it or not would be to say that we have to reject this notion that just because the owner is happy right now, that means that he was happy 3 hours ago. Meaning, everyone agrees that, in other words, right now, when the owner looks at his seed or his fruit, he's happy with the fact that there was moisture on it 3 hours ago. But the question is, was he happy about that 3 hours ago? So the Gemara says, you can't necessarily say that in the case of Kiyutan, that just because now he's happy, that doesn't mean he was happy at the time, which means that it's not necessarily true that the seed or fruit is subject to Tumah. So too, when it comes to Yir Shalom Midas, just because right now the guy finds out he lost the item and is now despairing of getting the item back, that doesn't mean that 3 hours ago he was in that same state of mind. So there's no proof. Just because right now he finds out he lost his item 3 hours ago and gave up on it, that doesn't translate to anything. So this seemingly would be a proof for Abaye, that Yir Shalom Midas in fact is not Yish. So the Gemara rejects this as well. The Gemara says, not true. Shaini Hasam, Dichsiv Ki Yitein Achayitein. Comes the Gemara and says that the scenario, the halacha of Kiyutan is different, because if you look carefully in the Pasuk in Parsha Shmini, when this halacha appears, even though we read the word as if it says Yutan, as a Yud Vav Taf Nun, but it's written without the Vav, as if it said Yitein. So what does that mean exactly? Ad Sheyitein. That means that the seed or the fruit is only subject to becoming susceptible to Tumah when you actively place the moisture there. Dew, by definition, obviously, you're not placing the dew there. The dew is falling on its own. So there's a unique halacha when it comes to the realm of fruit and seeds being susceptible to Tumah that we say that you need to be the one to actively place it there, but that cannot translate to the realm of Yir Shalom Midas. So asks the Gemara, Ihachi Reishanami. Okay, well, what about the first case? The first case in the Brice that we just quoted stated that if the dew is currently on the seed, we said that the seed is subject to Tumah if the owner is happy with it. But why? He didn't place the dew there. The dew fell on its own. So the Gemara says, no. Hasam ki derav papa. Derav papa, ramei. Tziv ki yitin vikarina ki yutan. Ha keitzad. But inam ki yutan dumya dechi yitin. Ma yitin ladas av ki yutan nami ladas. The Gemara says that we draw a comparison between yitin and yutan. In other words, kiyitein, when you place moisture on something, by definition, you want it there, you put it there actively. So too, when it comes on its own, like in the case of dew, you also have to be okay with it. You have to want it to be there. If you don't want it there, then it's not going to be subject to tumah. Okay, the Gemara says, Tashma. The Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum, Rabbi Yishmael, Ben Yehud Sadak, blood. Minayin la aveda sheshatfa nahar shehi muteres dichse v'chein taaseh lachamoro v'chein taaseh l'sim laso v'chein taaseh l'chol avedas achicha asher tovad menu umtsasa misha avuda himenu mitzuya etzol kol adam yatzda zo sheavuda mimenu ve'ena mitzuya etzol kol adam v'isura dumya dehetera mahetera bein de ispa simenu vein de lespa simen shara afisura bein de ispa simenu vein de lespa simenasura tiyufta de rava tiyufta. So comes the Gemara with the final proof, the final nail in the coffin against Rava, which is perhaps the most straightforward proof that we've quoted until now. The Gemara wants to know, how do I know that if a river comes, a wave comes and wipes away Reuven's possessions, that I, Shimon, when I find the item, I'm allowed to keep it? So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Parshas Kiseitze, which is in the context of Hashavas Aveda. The Torah says that you have to do the same, the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda applies when you find someone's donkey, when you find their garments, when you find any item that they lose. The pasuk says, Asher tovad mimenu umtsasa, that they have lost it and you found it. So the Gemara says that the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda only applies to an item that is exclusively lost to the owner, but it's found or accessible to the rest of the world. In other words, the guy just doesn't know where his item is, but other people do. But if an item is lost to everyone, it gets swept up by the ocean, and now it's 500 miles downstream, so that item is not subject to Hashavas Aveda. Now, the Gemara points out further that we draw a comparison between between Isser and Heter. What does that mean? So the Gemara says like this, that, in other words, in a scenario where you have a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, where the item is not lost to everyone else, the item is, it's 20 feet away from where the owner was, so now everyone else can see it, so there, we don't draw distinctions between whether there's a simon or not. Meaning, if you found an item that was accessible to most people, just the owner lost it, whether or not there was a simon on that item, if you found it before the owner gave up hope, you have to return it to the owner. You're not allowed to keep it. If you take that item for yourself, you're in violation of not returning the item of Hashavas Aveda, right? Lo sucha lehisalim. You can't turn away from it. You're not allowed to take the item for yourself. It's basically a glorified form of gezeila. On the other hand, if you have an item which was swept down, downstream, and no one has access to it, essentially, then even if there's a simon on that item, you're allowed to keep it, as we already explained yesterday. So the Gemara says that this is seemingly a clear-cut proof for Abaye, because this Braisa says explicitly that even if there's no simon on the item, but again, it's easily accessible to everybody else, that you're not allowed to keep that item. You have to return it. It's part of Hashavas Aveda. So in fact, the Gemara says, V'hilchasa kivaseda Abaye b'yalkan. This is, as we mentioned yesterday, is one of the famous six examples where he passed like Abaye over Rava. This is the first case of the Yal Kagan. This is the case of Yehoshua Lomidas. Again, the Rishon talk about what all the other five scenarios are. We're not going to get to that right now. But basically, you're passing like Abaye over Rav. So now as a follow-up to this, the Gemara says, Amar le Ravacha bere de Rava le Ravashi, v'chi me'achar de itosav Rava, hane tamri de zika, heichi achlidal. Okay, so we've just refuted Rava. We've just spent the last day and a half trying to prove that Abaye is correct, that Yehoshua Lomidas is not valid. So now the problem is like this. Let's say I'm walking by a date tree, and I see a bunch of dates that were blown off by the wind lying under the tree. So how am I allowed to eat those dates? In other words, presumably the assumption is the owner does not yet know that the dates are lying on the ground. So Amar Le Kevan de Ika Shkatzimu Ramasim de Ka'achle Lahu Meikara Yeushe Meyayish Minayim. So says the Gemara, you're right, that since the owner knows that there's going to be a wind that's going to blow the dates off the tree, and there's going to be these insects and bugs that are going to eat at the dates, and they're going to become disgusting and basically inedible, so he already gave up initially. So this is not a case of Yishal Midas, because he essentially gave up on ever retrieving those dates. So then the Gemara says, okay, but Yasmei Delav Menei Mechila Nenumai. What about Yisomim? Let's say the date tree belongs to orphans who are under bar mitzvah. They don't have the ability to be mochel. In other words, because they don't have das, they can't be mochel anything. So Amar Le Bagla Ba'ara Diyasmi Lo Machzikin. So says, Ravashi, he says that if you're walking in a valley and you see a date tree, you don't have to assume that the date tree belongs to orphans or ktanim who don't have das. The odds that that's the case is highly improbable. Okay, but then the Gemara says, Mochzak Va'omei Mai, Krachta Mai, Amar Le Asira. But let's say you knew for a fact that this date tree belonged to orphans who were ktanim. Or let's say there was a fence that was surrounding the date tree that would prevent the shkatzim or a muslim from coming and eating and infesting the date. So then in that case, the Gemara says, Hanami, that it would in fact be usher to take those dates, because again, we paskin like Abaye. Okay, then the Gemara says, Krichos Rishos Arabim Hare Elu Shalom. The Mishnah told us that if I find these bundles of grain in the Rishos Arabim, that I'm allowed to keep them. Amar Rabba, Va'afilu Bedavar Sheyesh Bo Simen, Alma Kasava Rabba Simen Ha'asu Vidaris Lov Havi Simen, Rava Amar Lo Shanu Ela Bedavar Sheyesh Bo Simen, Ava Bedavar Sheyesh Bo Simen Chayav Lahachri, is Alma kasava rava simen haasri lidareis havi simen v'ika demasne lahashmaita ba'an pe nafsha simen haasri lidareis rabba amar lo havi simen v'rava amar havi simen. So it's not enough that we just spent the last 2 days according to machlokas between Abai and Rava. Rava jumps on to a brand new machlokas right after this first one, a machlokas between Rava and Rabba about what's called a simen haasri lidareis. A simen haasri lidareis means I have a simen on the item, but the simen is going to be trampled upon too. In other words, if, for example, in this case, I have bundles of grain in the middle of the street, so even if I have a simen on them, but the odds are they're going to be stepped on by someone at some point. So the question is that called a valid simen? So Rabba says, he says that a simen ha'asur lidareis is not a valid simen, because even though it's technically a simen, in other words, right now, but in 5 minutes from now, it's going to be stepped on, and the simen's going to go away, and therefore, that's the reason why you're allowed to keep it, and Rava disagrees. Rava says that when the Mishnah says that I'm allowed to keep the bundles of grain that I find in the Rishus HaRabim, that's only if there's no simen on it. But if there's a simen on the bundles, then Rava says, then I have to return it. And again, the Gemara quotes a second version where the Gemara just presents the machlokas between Rava and Rabba as an independent machlokas, but again, it's the same opinions. Okay, so now the Gemara says tonight, Krichos Berishos HaRabim HaRei Elu Shalom Berishos HaYachin No Telu Machris. The Mishnah told us that if I find bundles of grain in the Rishos HaRabim, I can keep them. In the Rishos HaYachin, I have to announce them. So the question is, Hechi Dami, what are the circumstances here? Edelis Behu Simen Berishos HaYachin My Machris. If there's no Simen on the bundles, so then what am I announcing exactly, right? The Mishnah said if I find bundles of grain in the Rishos HaRabim, I have to announce them. But what am I announcing if there's no Simen? El Alav De Isbehu Simen Vikatani Berishos HaRabim HaRei Elu Shalom Alma Simen. So presumably you have to say that the case is that the bundles of grain do in fact have a simen on them, and yet the Mishnah still tells us that when I find the bundles of grain in the Rishos HaRabim, I'm allowed to keep them. That would seemingly lend support to Rabba's position that because the simen is going to be trampled upon, it doesn't act as a valid simen, and that would seem to refute Rabba's position. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Amar lecha Rava liolam deleis behu simen udeka amar b'Rishos HaYachin may machriz makom v'Rabba amar makom lohavi simen de'itmar makom Rabba amar lohavi simen v'Rava amar havi simen. The Gemara says, no, Rava rejects this by noting that even though you have a case where the bundles of grain do not have a simen on them, nonetheless, you can still announce. What are you announcing? You're announcing the location in which you found the bundles of grain. Now, the question is that a valid simen? Is that a valid thing to announce? So that's another machlokas between Rava and Rava regarding the status of makom. Is makom a simen? If I find an item that has no unique features on it, but I announce the location where I found it, is that considered a simen? So Rava says no, and Rava says yes. So if you think that makom is a simen, so Rava says, okay, so you announce the place in which you found the item. Okay, Ingmar says Tashma. Krichos Berishos HaRabim HaRei Elu Shalom Berishos HaYachin No Telu Machris. So again, the same case. You find bundles of grain in the Rishos HaRabim, you can keep them. In the Rishos HaYachin, you announce them. The Ha'alumos, let's say you find these very large sheaves or bundles of grain, Bein Berishos HaRabim Uvein Berishos HaYachin No Telu Machris. Then you have to announce them even if they're in the Rishos HaRabim. So the Gemara has to explain. Rabba Hechi Mesaretzla V'Rava Hechi Mesaretzla. Rabba Mesaretzla Tamei B'Simen V'Rava Mesaretzla Tamei B'Makom. Rabba Mesaretzla Tamei B'Simen Simen Krichos Berishos HaRabim HaRei Elu Shalom Mishum De Midrasa Berishos HaYachin No Delumachris Delo Midrasa V'Ha'Alumos Bein Berishos HaRabim Uvein Berishos HaYachin No Delumachris Keva De Gavayan Lo Midrasa. So the way that Rabba will interpret this brisa is by pointing out that the distinction between the large bundles and the small bundles is the fact that no one is going to trample on the large bundles of grain because everyone can see them. So therefore, even in the Rishos HaRabim, Rabba will tell you that you have to announce. You can't just keep the large bundles of grain. On the other hand, v'rava misaretz l'tamei b'makom krichos b'rishos harabim harei elu shalom d'minashtefa b'rishos hayachin chayav l'hachriz d'lo minashtefa v'ha'alumos bein b'rishos harabim uvein b'rishos hayachin no telu machriz kevan d'yakire lo minashtefa. And Rava says, no, that the demarcating factor is makom, is the location. So when it comes to the small bundles of grain in the rishos harabim, the reason why you're allowed to keep those is because people kick them around and they're rolling all over the place, so you don't know where they are. The guy could say, I lost them on, I lost them in Englewood, but then someone kicked them and now they're lying in Teaneck. So I don't know exactly where they are. So that's not considered a valid simen. In contrast, the alumos, the large bundles of grain, no one's going to kick those around far enough to, seriously change the location. And therefore, announcing the makom would be considered a valid simen, according to Rava, for the large bundles of grain.